Okay, so just wait a couple more minutes. You can see my screen.
Yes, it's happening.
Yes, I can.
Okay, just one sec. Okay, maybe we can. We've got a bit of an audience at the moment. I'm sharing my screen again, so hopefully that's visible. Let me move this out of the way. We have about 26 people on now, and it's 3 past. So maybe we can start. And actually, I even put the right date. So 09. I'm, as per what Chris was doing, we're following with putting the topics up here. Sometimes this plays funny things with me, but here we go. The topics, but just for the meeting management, I've...
Call cannot be continued. Sorry, your call cannot be continued. Okay. Sorry, your call cannot...
Okay, cool. The topics for today was... We had to sort of on the Tosca task force have the clarification with the modeling there. I don't know if Andy's on. There was the fine line to actually help out with the wording of that. If not, then we have to come back to that if Andy's not on. Okay, we come back to that. Then we had a topic of, I wanted to come back to the modularity definition. I know that covers under your Tiger team purpose, but I wanted to call it up separately. And Shaka is expecting something from you. Are you on?
Shaka is here, or I don't know.
I can't see him at the moment. So okay, let's switch the order.
It's too early for him.
No, he was in the model. He was in the modeling one before, so maybe it's still going on a bit. Then I had the Tiger team update. Then there was still some work, the continuation of the discussion around the what Srini was presenting last time regarding the, we got sidetracked a little bit regarding the K8S or the orchestration of container-based VNFs. Need to spend some time for the agenda of the face-to-face. We've got a list of previous topics that Chris was brought up. I want to narrow that down, and then we start formulating that into an agenda. We'll give an update of that. And we've got a little bit around the assessment of the Casablanca. So Jason asked for a few minutes, so we'll bring that up there. That is S3P there. Anything else on the agenda? I think it's packed anyway. Okay, so if Shaka, you haven't joined, then we'll go into the Tiger team update, Pavis. I'll stop sharing.
Sure.
And focus also on the sort of the topics we might, I mean, please highlight the topics we may wish to take into the face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, sure. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me find my screen first. Is this me? Let me see if I can Share. Okay, for Tiger Team architecture update, there are a couple of topics, not couple, a few topics that today we can get a brief overview of what we have done. The top three, as you can see, Steve and folks on the call, I have listed like a total of six different topics. The first three I already gave an update when Chris was chairing. I think that we still have some work on item two and three. Two, I have to figure out from the SDNC/SDNR team to see if there is anything that is being developed for the Dublin release. So I don't have an update on that for the last few weeks. On the SDK-driven subsystem approach, the slides are appended to the end of this presentation. We still need to follow up with Tingu and Vimal and others to see if for Dublin we should pick and choose a subset of those slides and include that in the architecture, overall architecture, functional description. So those are the top three topics that I'm not going to really go into the detail. For the last couple of months, we have been mainly focusing on the recursive service orchestration. This was championed by Gil of AT&T. Then we have item number five, domain orchestrator function, and how that would be incorporated into the ONAP platform. That is a work in progress, led by Abhinesh of Netcracker. So I have a quick overview of that. And then, more importantly, the last topic is the ONAP modularization and or functional description. This has mainly consumed most of our time in Tiger Team. I would say over the last, since the last update, over the last 3-4 weeks, okay? So this is the high level, the scope of the Tiger Team, kind of a summary of the work that we have been engaged over the last, I would say, 6-7 weeks, okay? On the topic number 4, which is the recursive service orchestration, this was a huge deck that Gail shared with the group. And I tried to summarize that. It was a total of like probably 90 plus slides that they are available on the wiki page. But the key outcome of this was to look into modeling aspects and the modeling approach for nested services or hierarchical service orchestration approach that Gil has been really advocating for quite some time. The end result of this was to look into the two different modeling approaches, the so-called the modeling approach A and modeling approach B. And then the discussion led into how we can really work into in an environment that you can use the modeling approach B to capture the interaction between the different layers of the hierarchical orchestrator that Gil was proposing. And that is captured very briefly in this presentation. The rest of the slide deck has to do with something, a new concept called the facade resources. This is new. And I'll spend a few minutes on that. So there are two aspects of the nested services, the interaction between the high-level layer, the upper layer, and the low-level orchestration layer. And if that interaction is direct or indirect. And if it's indirect, then we need to rely on a new concept called facade resources. Okay, I'm going to talk about that. That is a part of the approach B. Approach A has to do with the direct reference between the two hierarchical orchestration layers. And that was not really the focus of the work that Gil was doing. It was presented that the team, the Tiger team, agreed to look into the modeling approach B. Okay. Here is a pictorial representation of the internal structure of the ONAP orchestrator function. I don't want to get into the detail. This has been already presented to the ARC subcommittee. The key point here with regard to the new approach is looking into the interaction between two service levels or layers. That is labeled as OI7, the orchestration internal interface -7. You can see that the red box is pointing to that, OI-7. This is where the service layer, as part of the internal interaction, would loop back to itself, and that interaction is captured under the concept so-called the facade resource approach. So if we have a split of resource orchestration versus a service orchestration, then there are other interfaces already defined. The resource level orchestration is below the service level, and that is already captured through the two separate interfaces, the interface -13, OI-13, and the OI-6. So we already gave an overview of this, I guess this was like a few months back to the architecture subcommittee. But today, I'm going to give you a quick update of OI-7 and how that can be used as a nice modeling tool in ONAP to capture the dynamic of the nested services using the idea of facade resource. Any question on this one? Okay, this is another example of the more detailed example, looking into the use of facade in the context of a more complex nested service, service W, the high level service layer, and then you can look into service X, but service X is only viewed by service W. Service X is the low level service layer. The service X is viewed as a resource from a perspective of service W. But you remember I mentioned the approach A versus approach B. In approach A, there is no, there is a direct interaction between the two services, service W and service X. So we are not going to talk about that. For approach B, Gil's presentation was focusing on this new concept called facade resource. The way that facade resource is captured in this multi-layer architecture for orchestration function is to isolate the direct interaction between service W and service X. In a sense, service X, the entirety of service X is viewed as a resource, so-called the facade resource. So the detail of all the internal VNFs that are participating in creation of service X is not visible to service W. That's the key. So from an SDC perspective, if the service X is created using the template with its own VNFs, like VNF X1 and VNF X2, from a service W perspective, those details are not really that important. What service W cares is to basically look into the part of the service that is realized by this consolidated resource, a so-called service X. So service X, including VNF X1 and VNF X2, the consolidated, the collection of those two VNFs is considered a complex resource that is at the disposal of service W.
I have a question. How does that relate? How does that relate to the Dublin release? Are we entertaining introducing this feature in the Dublin release?
Yeah, wait, I have a couple of slides on that. That's a good question.
Parveesan, little, if you could also talk about practical use cases, right? And sure. Also tied to both deployment and operations, how this could affect, that'll be great. More of a detailed question of what Shakar was alluding to.
Yeah, okay. How this is used, back to Shakar's point, how this is used in Dublin release timeframe, we are going to come back to this in the Tiger team, because we haven't really finalized that the usage of this tool, this modeling tool, which is the hierarchical orchestration model, and how we can apply to Dublin. But as a good use case, like example use case, you can use service X in the context of the, let's say, the mobile broadband service. Okay, the mobile broadband service has the end-to-end connotation. Look at the Vodafone offering in the Vodafone SODO example. So if you submit the service requirement for a global like mobile broadband service to STC, so STC takes the service parameters or the service attributes and creates a template. But that template is a more complex template. One piece of that template should deal with the service W, which is a higher layer of this construct. The second part of the service template has to deal with this hidden resources, which is the service X. In a sense, the SDC has to deal with service X independently, but the way that service is viewed by service W is not necessarily looking into detail of VNFX1 and VNFX2. So a service W is gonna look into the collection of the service X building VNF as a building block is through the facade resource. So the facade resource collectively is gonna represent the quality of service, the latency, the bandwidth requirement, compute resources, the memory usage, and so on. So that can meet the requirement of this complex service that is already ordered by the end user. Okay? So that complex service by STC is going to split in two parts. The part one deals with the service W, which is not life is normal as far as SO is concerned, another component. But for SO to deal with service X in the context of overall nested service, it's going to look into services as a resource, a consolidated resource.
Hey Parveez, my question was slightly different because I've seen this presentation before. Question is related to the let's start with the SDC team, right? Has the SDT team looked at this proposal, and are they in the process of evaluating whether this is feasible in the Dublin release or future releases?
Oh, that feasibility study is pending for further exploration and review.
So Michael Landau is aware of it? Do you know?
So Gil was supposed to put this. This is a proposal. This is not I don't think this has been implemented or integrated or coded. The logic has not been coded as far as I know.
Gil's on the call. Let's take this slightly other way. Is there interest to try to pursue this for the Dublin release? Do we have enough alignment around that? And if so, what actions do we need to start taking in order to move?
I asked Gail to work offline with AT&T and Vodafone and see if this can be used in the context of SODO architecture, orchestration architecture. And I believe that there was some exchange, some collaboration between the two companies. And we have not seen a follow-up to how this would be used in the context of Dublin or in the future beyond Dublin. that is still pending. Gil, so if you're on the call, you can chime in.
Yeah, I'm on. So I would suggest not to focus on facade in Dublin, because there are some architectural questions, right? So, I mean, is this an additional layer that's unnecessary? What is the separation of boundary between orchestration and controller with respect to assignments? How do we want to make those assignments? All of those questions factor into whether or not this facade object is useful, or whether it's just another layer, unnecessary layer. I think if we wanted to focus on something in Dublin, I would suggest we focus on allotted resources first, because I think they could, in some sense, a facade is like an extension of an allotted. So I would suggest that it'd be more important to focus on allotted resources, making them model-driven in Dublin, and not focus on facade. That's my perspective.
Exactly. That was the point which I was trying to raise here just before Chaka's question. What I feel is this is a starting step of allotted resource extension, very much as you said. So AR could be used right now for what we are showing here. The depiction here is more detailed about what AR cannot do beyond AR timid. But I think AR can be surely leveraged to have some part of it realized. That's what is my feeling too.
Okay, good. Sorry, just for sake of time and meeting management, I'm going to sort of force us to move on a little bit. So conclusion is we need to work out instead of focusing on the facade resource that's directional at the moment, that's great. We'll continue to work with that. For the shifting gears towards the Dublin release, it sounds like we should focus on the allocated resource and what is missing to make that more model-driven. That's my takeaway, correct?
And with the use case, Steve, just to add to that, we also require a proper use case to realize it. If without that, we are again talking in air.
For the side, yeah. Okay. I think so it would be. So I think, so we have a use case for allotted already as the VCPE use case. We could use that one. And I think if we work on making that one model driven, then perhaps it would give us insight to make a decision of whether or not option A or option B is the preferred approach.
Perfect.
Okay. So some other comments very quickly. There was a mention, I captured that in one of the meetings, that the nested services or recursive orchestration could be used for 5G. And then these are the sub-items that I listed here. The facade resource, so Gil, you're saying that can wait. The focus should be on a lot of resources. The modeling implementation of this approach, what level of flexibility we should allow for orchestration, and need to define some interfaces for proper interaction between the different layer of the hierarchical orchestration for nested services. So these are comments that during the discussion of the Tiger team, I recall that I captured when people were talking about this.
Can you just give some elaboration on the last point of it, define some interfaces for proper interaction between layers of hierarchy and nested services?
Yeah, you remember the picture I showed, if you have a hierarchical, the internal structure of the complex orchestration function, if you have the high level and low level, you have to expose that OI-7. You remember? I have the picture here.
You're talking of SN.
The question is, okay, if you expose this OI-7, then what would be the requirement and how you're going to really implement this, and what are the design parameters for realizing this in a future release, whether Dublin or beyond Dublin. So that was to
by exposing, you mean exposing to external? Because I think that OI7 which we are talking is internal to SO itself, right? It should not be exposed to anyone else outside. As for my understanding,
when you talk about the hierarchy of anything, so now you have two layers of functionality or sub-functionality, the top layer and the lower layer. So the interaction between those two layers somehow has to be specified, yeah? That interface has to be specified. Otherwise, you cannot really split the functionality in two layers. Whether this is externally exposed or not, that's a separate question. Of course, it's not. Okay?
Yeah, fine. Okay.
So that's the point. Then modular orchestration and homing, I guess I need to skip that. There are two points that I need to highlight. What is the definition of the network service descriptor from an Etsy perspective versus the network service that is considered the owner? So Gil had some discussion with Tiger Team that these two, the network service descriptor, that the way that is defined in SOL 001 is not necessarily directly mapped into the concept of network service in ONA. So as far, is that, Gil, you want to clarify that? This is I captured as one of the topics in discussion that we had in Tiger Team. But the other item that came up is how to really plug in instead of going through the Mano stack, all the complexity of Mano. How would you take a VNF manager independent from the stack and plug it into the owner? Okay, so that was a discussion that happened. I believe that Nokia and others, they were planning to implement this and integrate it into ONAP. I don't know the timeline. I guess if Anatoly is on the call, he should have the latest update on this. Okay?
He's not on the call, he's on vacation, but I do recall in one of his data modeling meetings where from an internal model perspective, the network service, the NSD, is something that you don't need something. It's not the same as the service that's in the internal data model, but you don't need something new necessarily to reflect it. Now, Gil, I don't know if that matches what your thinking is around that.
But so I have the same question, though. Sorry, Gil. Is this targeted for Dublin?
This should be. In fact, this is, to me, there's a very large modeling question in terms of how do we model network service, and we've got to get that nailed down in Dublin.
Even if we implement nothing,
go ahead.
I understand, Gil. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see if we could tee up some of the items that you all like to see in Dublin and then come back and flush out the details. That's all I'm trying to say, right? So if this is part of Dublin, let's make sure that we put it down as a potential candidate for the Dublin release.
And Jack, just to add to that, if you put it as a candidate for Dublin, then we have to also identify those projects which will be having effect of, or will have impact of this thing and should be taking the, I mean, we should discuss with those project VTLs or the main committers also.
Absolutely. What I'm trying to do is trying to identify what the candidate list is so we could work some of the details between now and when we meet in Montreal, and then and decide in Montreal whether it is in or out.
Yes. I'm just adding to the point.
So there are two parts here. I fully agree, and I'm actually sort of working in the agenda management at the same time there. Just there were two parts. One is the definition of the network service. And alignment, which is great that it's also combined with the modeling subcommittee, so we'll leverage that. And the other is the VNFM plugin question that you have here, which was sort of already on the table for Casablanca and is progressing to my understanding.
So, Steve, I have a question here. Just a small question. So, I understand that most of this work would cut across having a Tosca-based orchestrator inside SO, right? So if we table this as part of Dublin, then can I assume that the introduction of Tosca orchestrator in SO is kind of implied?
Yes, I think so. Everything that
I would probably say maybe, right?
Model driven, right? Everything should be model driven. Now, in the Tosca model driven, right?
But you see, I want to tell you, and I have a different take on it, right? So we table, this is a feature that we want to entertain. I think the next step or the next set of steps would be to get the PTLs involved and then decide on what's in, what's out. It can be implied. We can't imply anything at this point, I believe.
My question is this little bit different. So if you want to have Solvent-based VNFD, I mean, I assume that all the orchestration that we talk here would end up going inside SO. Is my assumption? Is this my first assumption? Am I right here?
I don't know. I have my own opinion. Yeah, I have my own opinion.
But I don't think you should expect that a VNFD as formatted for SOL 001 is ingested and acted upon unchanged by ESO. Yeah. I don't think that should be the expectation.
Can we hold
it? Because it is not.
Sorry. I was just going to say, can we hold the details of the, I just want to draw out the topics so we can get identify which ones we did.
Yeah, that is the purpose today.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Steve,
Steve, I'm at the mercy of your generosity if I can spend another 10 minutes to finish my slides.
Five,
and that's going to be very tight. Okay. So that this is okay. We already covered these two main points here. Now the issues. Here is some recipe for you guys to see what would be some of the Tiger team kind of target issue list. Recursive orchestration. There was a mention that what Gil presented is not big enough. So we need to generalize that approach. This is a good point because there is a strong interest in what you presented as part of the allotted and facade resource. Platform enhancement, your example use cases. These are more the implementation of the idea and integration within the platform. Globally scalable, deployable aspects of the idea. What SP needs to deploy ONAP more widely? Modularity, okay, this is a different aspect of this, not necessarily the nested services. Modularity is a longer-term activity. This is the next topic. And deployability is a short-term focus. I believe, Sashu and others, when you mentioned PTL and Shaka, the PTL engagement into this, the main theme for Dublin is deployability, and Steve, I believe that you already have the slide from Chris that talks about deployability, yeah? So we need to capture that. The end user group is being formed. There was a strong comment from many members that end user view should be a drive force for what we are doing in the architecture evolution. So I was told that the end user is being formed. I believe that by now the Vodafone Verizon, they have already established the end user group, the advisory group, okay? Is that correct? We need to, Steve, we need to confirm that. The way that the end user can help is to bring the requirement for deployability, then also touch on some other aspects like sustainability of use cases, and then the potential gaps, okay? The platform enhancements should be demoed by, of course, a set of new use cases, but the use cases should not be overlapping, okay? Should be distinctive use cases that can collectively display the new feature of the platform, okay? The other thing is the domain orchestrator. The discussion on this new topic, which has to do with the domain orchestration, is led by Abhinesh of Netcracker. There was a couple of presentations in the Tiger team, and the people, they strongly recommended that Abhinesh and the team, they should go and socialize the idea with independently with operators and collect information, feed the information into the proposed model and update, revise and update the contribution, the proposal, and bring it to the Tiger team. In the first two presentations, the focus was on challenges using this the view on the domain orchestration that Abhinesh presented. How would you transform that in the context of ONAP, and what is how the APIs are aligned with the open standards? Those are the three top focus points. Potential option for overlapping ONAP deployment. These are part of the challenges. And then identify operator requirements. So Abhinesh, as I said, is already working with the operators, Vodafone, Orange, and others. There are different views in the view in the community. It was highly voiced, and people were very vocal that the idea is not baked. It has to be really, it has to exercise more input by talking to the operator and then refine the design for the deorchestration and bring it back to the architecture discussion.
One question, Parviz. The relationship between the domain orchestrator question and the hierarchical resource orchestration, the hierarchical orchestration.
No, they're orthogonal.
They're orthogonal.
As far as the Tiger team is concerned, the how to link these two is part of the future work, but these are basically the two separate proposals, one from AT&T, one from Netcracker, at least led by the two companies. But how to link these two is future work. Correct, Gil?
Hey, Parviz, is this targeted for Dublin?
No, this is not targeted for Dublin, but Abhinesh is trying very hard to at least get a consolidated view from the operators and take that input from operators, revise his proposal, the domain orchestration proposal, and bring it for architecture elaboration.
Okay, fine. So this is, you know, post-Dublin.
It should be mostly post-Dublin, yeah. That is my idea. Okay, go ahead.
So one point to note is like all these new ideas like recursive orchestration and then allotted resources which you're driving, we should work very closely with our work on CNF, especially with the one Srini is driving. The rationale is there. A lot of these problems are solved very well already. So we have to look at how, I mean, we can leverage versus sort of, you know, creating new standards around these.
Sure, Ramki. Once the Abhinesh is ready to bring the updated contribution, the proposal, and then I'm hoping that you'll be on the call. And
Sorry, my bad. I didn't mean it in domain orchestrator. Maybe the comment was even broader. Like I was thinking, like all the work, right? I mean, I was carefully watching allotted resources or recursive orchestration, right? But we have to strike the CNF, the cloud native network function, in context, right? So there, a lot of these problems are already solved in the, you know, and then the question is, can we leverage those while they're putting together the common framework for cloud native, and then, you know, standard VM-based VNFs and how we're transitioning? That's all I meant. I mean, it's a broader topic beyond just domain orchestrator.
Okay, guys, from a Tiger team perspective, I don't want to entertain anything that has academic in nature, academic discussion. What Abhinesh is doing is to bring the reality into the picture. Reality means the set of requirements from the operators that can drive this architecture work. Okay.
Parviz, can you move to topic?
Okay, let me, topic six is our infamous modularization or modularity discussion. So yesterday we went through the next few slides. This is our plan. We are hoping that by October 26th, we follow these steps and we have at least a baseline draft for the Strawman proposal for how to modularize, or at least to define the guideline in ONAP, how to modularize the existing components in an incremental fashion. These are the people that are working on different aspects of the proposal. The modularity, we covered that in the discussion we had yesterday in Tiger Team. We quickly summarized our views on two different buckets or options. We call option A and option B. In option A, we agreed that yes, one view is to take ONAP as a common architecture infrastructure and define common services or common components, examples like a database as a service or task parser and more. Option B is make ONAP as a plug and play platform. There was a refinement in the gray text I captured from Vimal and the team that it is not really a pure plug-and-play environment. ONAP is not really going to function like that. Eventually, maybe, but we may want to focus more on the integration of legacy components instead of just simply talking about rip and replace. And I believe that we are going to follow on that line and kind of soften the language for option B. So it's going to be plug and play eventually. But in the meantime, we are going to look into the integration of legacy component as part of that plug and play. So these are the discussion that we have. Which projects are going to really participate in modularity journey? I guess I remember that Chakar volunteered Sesho and SO team to take the lead on this as a good example, how to modularize SO, the internal sub-function, and maybe create some microservices. It could be a mix. Initially, it could be a mix of a microservices component plus the monolithic component. And the Tiger team was very clear that that is going to be a multi-release kind of attempt. We are going to gradually take start with SO and then add maybe an AI or controller. And then life goes on from that point, and we learn more, and we apply to modularize existing monolithic and remaining monolithic component, and eventually migrate the whole ONAP from a monolithic to a microservices-based architecture. That's the plan. The question is, as I said, tentatively agreed that we started SO led by Sesho. Sesho, I hope this is not a big surprise for you, and blame it to Shocker, okay? Modernization of other components is going to happen over time. Then the technical discussion happened, as I said. We have to establish a set of common services. Database as a service, a good example. A common, Tipasca parser is another common service. And John from AT&T put it very very nicely that before we talk about any of the modularity discussion, we have to have a concrete set of core common services in place. So we have to first have the set of common services. The versioning discussion happened, but that's going to follow after we do the first phase of this. The platform extensibility, Gil, you mentioned this. This is where that you want to deal with the model-driven microservice versus the custom-built models microservice. There are discussion happening that indeed, initially, we have the SDC to track the modeling aspects and create templates, and then we use those microservices in ONAP. But at some point, the operators, they might bring something that is not necessarily supported by ONAP. So they might want to have a custom-built microservice, and they want to plug into the ONAP. So that discussion is already happening, and how that's going to really come to be an integral part of the ONAP, and how we are going to define the APIs, and how we're going to integrate this non-standard microservices or custom-built microservices into ONAP is work in progress, okay? I guess, Steve, the idea on using Tosca as a common service brings another question. That what are we going to do with other data modeling tools like Yang and Heat? Is this only a concern of SDC, or this is going to propagate to other ONAP components beyond SDC? Worry about that in future?
That's part of the question.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and then high-level Tiger team recommendation is captured here.
Okay.
It doesn't have the technical details, but the focus would be actionable. And add, amend any requirement received from community, and make sure that we are crystal clear on the features that we are going to bring to the Dublin timeframe. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. We'll hold that there. Can you send me the slides, and I'll upload them and put them in the look there. I think it's a good summary, and I've been trying to take a list of the topics that we take to the face to face there.
Sure.
The next,
I send you the PDF. Yeah, I send you the PDF, but I put it PowerPoint also.
Okay, great. The next, if we come back to the agenda, we're a bit sort of maybe behind, but I think we should spend some time on the modularity definition. Shaka, I don't know whether you had the chance to prepare input on that one.
Yes, I did. Can you see my
I want to take this because I think that's an important point that we align around in order for the preparations for the face-to-face. So that's why I want to prioritize this.
Okay. So we've been having a discussion about ONAP modularity for a while now. So yesterday, or I think last week, at the Tiger Team meeting, as well as at the architecture meeting, I volunteered to put something together, defining or explaining what I think the ONAP modularity should be. This is my take on it, and I invite everybody to comment on what I'm about to say. But I thought, you know, ultimately at the end of the discussion, hopefully we could come to term in terms of what do we mean by modularity. So the term is not either doesn't get overloaded or misunderstood, and now we're talking past each other. So this is an attempt, and as I said, feedbacks are welcome, and hopefully we could come to an agreement at the end of the presentation. So with that, what I tried to do is to define what modularity means, right? It's the notion of dividing software component into smaller modules, right? That's how, you know, it is actually defined. We may want to redefine it, but that's fine. But that's my attempt to define it. The modules are divided based on functionalities, and new functionalities can be introduced at the module level without impacting other modules in theory. So divide and conquer. You divide it, you based on functionalities, and then you deploy or you start to address the plug and play at the module level. So what is the modularity in ONAP? Based on where we are today, it depends on whom you ask. So to some, and I have spoken to a lot of people, either on the phone or face-to-face, to some, modularity is the ability to rip and replace ONAP components. Bring your own orchestrator, bring your own SDN controller, right? To others, modularity is the process of decomposing the functionalities of a monolithic ONAP component into a set of modules or microservices. The two, there, you could argue that at high level that both options or both explanations are directionally correct. However, one has significant impact on ONAP more so than the other. I happen to believe that option two is a better description and is also the more achievable. Whereas option one, which happens to be rip and replace, may be more desirable by many, especially the service providers, but a lot harder to achieve and implement. So with that, let me explain what I mean by rip and replace. This option assumes that any ONAP component is actually considered black box with well-defined APIs. And the assumption also is that if a new component meets the APIs, then one can rip the old component and replace it with the new component. So that's the intent, and that's what some service providers hope to achieve, right? However, though, the new component would have to process not only the APIs, but also all the artifacts and the dependencies that the old component did. This in essence would turn out to be a refactoring of the old component. And I'm not sure if we get any significant benefits out of rewriting the old component. Take, for example, SO. The new component would have to process the orchestration request as SO does today. It would have to execute the BPM in workflow as a SO does today, it would have to create the service instance record in an AI, subscribe to and process all the events on the event bus, and it would have to interface with the SDN controller and so on and so forth. You know, the closed loop and other functions that SO does today, which is basically what the current SO does today, right? So in essence, you are actually recreating SO. From monolithic to microservices, this is my definition of modularity, right? This option assumes that many ONAP components can be functionally decomposed into a well-defined set of microservices. Again, take SO for an example. We might be able to decompose SO into an API microservice, a workflow execution engine microservice, and a task parser microservice. The microservices can then be scaled, updated, sorry, there's a typo over here, or upgraded independently. Microservices can then be replaced. New workflow engine, for example, can replace the existing one. A new Tosca parser can be replaced by yet another Tosca parser microservice. And what's even more interesting is that microservices at that point can and might be shared by other ONAP components. For example, if I have a Tosca microservice as a service, then SDN controller can use it, SO can use it, as well as SDNC or any other ONAP component that actually has a need to use a Tosca parser. Conclusion. What I'm proposing is, and again, this is a proposal. Define the modularity as per slide 4, or a modified version of slide 4 based on the feedback from the architecture committee, which means migrate from monolithic to a microservices architecture. Find a common terminology for rip and replace. Example, pluggability, plug and play. Whatever we decide on, it has to be, I'm proposing that it should be other than modularity, so that everybody then will be on the same page. The next step would be identify one ONAP component that can be a modularity candidate for the Dublin release. Propose modularity as an infrastructure feature for all other components in future ONAP releases. Once we do the first ONAP component, the long-term plan would be to address the modularity at the component level for future releases, create the repository for potential comments or microservices that can be shared across all the ONAP components. And that's the point that I highlighted earlier. And last but not least, and to me that's the most critical, let's get the PTLs involved. They know best, they know better as to whether this makes any sense or not. And once we achieve all that, then let's revisit option 1, the rip and replace, or whatever we want to call that feature. And with that, that's all I meant to present today. Are there any questions?
Thanks, Shaka.
Or comments?
Exactly. Questions?
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Rani. Shaker, thanks for the presentation. Yes. But I don't really understand why you see them as two distinct options. I think it makes sense to start with microservices architecture and then enable ripping and replacing your microservice. But there is, as you mentioned, the need by service providers to bring other components. And those components can be either a single microservice, maybe at the first stage, but later they can bring on a set of microservices, and maybe they will be able to replace SO as a whole with, I don't know, a bunch of microservices. So I don't see them as two options. It's just an evolution from starting with microservices, where you can rip and replace a single microservice maybe at the beginning, but then you can move up and replace a set of microservices and create your own SO, for example. What do you think about this approach?
Well, I mean, that's why I put at the last bullet over here, then revisit option one, which is the rip and replace, right? It seems to me, and this is my personal view. It seems to me that unless we move from monolithic to microservices-based architecture for almost all of the ONAP components, the plug-and-play capability may not be achievable.
Yeah, I agree. We can start with that, but I'm speaking from experience. Sometimes developers just, you know, find some way to move to a microservices architecture, but still keep the monolithic functionality. So it's okay to start with microservices, but let's keep the motivation of providing a way to plug in new modules and not forget that through the process.
Agree.
And Shakar, one question is that I don't know about all the projects, but which project is monolithic, which is not microservice based today?
I want to say most of them.
Okay.
Let's take, for example, and I don't want to pick on my friend Sishu, but let's take or Steve. So let's take ISO, for example, right? Even though it is a well-structured, right, component, I don't think today, if I want to change Komunda, right, and replace it with yet another BPM and engine, I think that would be a significant task to do that, right? If I were to create that in a microservice type of software architecture with well-defined APIs, I think that would be replacing the engine maybe a little bit easier. I'll bet that it will take significant amount of retesting, but that's the idea over here. Tasca parser is the key, right? Tasca parser, the discussion that's taken place and Alex Vuhl is taking the lead on it. Every component, almost every component that receives the CSAR file from SDC, Service Design Creation, has a need for a Tasca parser to parse the CSAR. I think in the past we had maybe a few different flavors of the Tasca parser, consolidating the Tasca parser into, go ahead.
Shakar, whatever you're saying, it's a kind of rip and replace, right? It's not really, I mean, microservices, the terminology, I guess, people can interpret in different ways. I mean, I interpreted microservice as, it's a kind of a container which has its own RESTful API interfaces, things like that, and as small unit as possible so it can be replaced. But I think what you're really saying is that not really microservice architecture, at least in generic sense, rather it is modularity with respect to rip and replace. Like we want to replace Komunda microservice or some microservice with something else, it's really called rip and replace, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on the terminology, right? Everything can be called rip and replaced, right? My point is, how do you define modularity, right? My proposal is modularity is taking a monolithic component and decompose it into a set of well-defined microservices. And once you get to that point, then when you have each and every microservice dedicated to supporting one function, then it is easier than to quote and quote rip and replace that microservice.
I think there's the reason for having a definition is really so we can have a focus. That was the main purpose, because a little bit this grew out of the observation that different people were meaning different things and trying to solve different problems under the same name. And it's just a case of having the focus. And I agree with the comments that they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, and it's a question of granularity that we're talking about here as well. But in order to have a path forward, we need to commonly agree as a community that, hey, we're going to start focusing here and then we're going to grow up this way. So for me, what I interpret of this is, let's look at breaking this down in describing the smaller functionalities, breaking the projects down into that, looking for commonality when doing so, so that we can actually have efficiencies regarding the common services that may be able to be used. That's the last point you have here, because it may be shared if the functionality is the same and the characteristics is the same. Shared doesn't mean runtime shared, but at least the same modules could be used from that point of view as well, right?
But I think we have to be careful.
One more thing, what Dhaka is presenting not only has value, I think we are focusing too much on rip and replace, but the value what Dhaka presented is make ONAP more agile and more manageable so that pieces can be changed more easily without having to go through a large development cycle. Each microservice is independent, autonomous, that can be modified rather easily because it's a very focused microservice. I think that benefits every service provider, not people who want to replace it, but just to make changes to those microservices.
And let me add that. I think that third bullet point is very key, right? Because I thought that we talked about that the Dublin release focuses on globally scalable and deployable. And we have been pretty much Dockerized our ONAP components, but we can take advantage of that auto scaling and auto healing because the components are not really, in terms of microservices, they're not microservices that are, that pretty much are stateless. And so when we get to that state, then we can really take advantage of Kubernetes, right? Where a container dies, it can, just come right back up. We don't have to worry about that. And if there are enough, and if there's traffic load, then we can actually allow the microservice to scale up automatically. And so right now we do not have that. The components do not take advantage of all the cloud native capabilities.
Well, it's true that it's not there for everything, but many components have that. Many components have replica sets that automatically can respond. Many components have the ability to restart their containers. Not all of them, but some of them. And we're working towards that. But maybe, Chakar, maybe one of the big questions is, are you proposing that we put a versioned API on every, like we version every single API inside of ONAP today?
No, I don't think I am doing that, Roger. I think the intent, back to Steve's comment, right? The reason this was actually, the need was basically raised at our group discussion. We were talking past each other when we said modularity, right? The scope of this is to explain, at least to attempt to explain my view of what I think modularity is. Now,
right, but
the devil's
time,
always in the details, right?
So it's great. I think it's a great thing to try to define terms. I think Socrates is a good quote around that. But the intent over time will be that the APIs change, right? So even if you have something that you think is plug and play today, over the next release, whatever, it may or may not be plug or play anymore. So it seems to me that part of the consequence of what's being discussed here is that if we really want this kind of modularity to be able to unplug Comunda and replace it with another component, which is a separate microservice, just to give kudos to Seshu, they have spent a lot of effort doing that. If we wanted to do that, we have to put a versioned API on every call so that we would know when APIs change over time, because they naturally will.
That's right. There is significant work to get to this point, the point that I'm proposing. Not only that we have to attach a version to each and every API, but then we need to decide, do we use REST API? Do you use RPCs? Do we use a services, microservices, bus, and so on and so forth between each and every component? Those details were left out on purpose. I think once we collectively as a team agree on some type of either this or a modified version of what we mean by the modularity, then we could take it to the next level of details and see if the guidelines that I just talked about, you know, RPC versus REST versus in microservices bus and so on and so forth, would apply to all of the components.
Yeah, Roger,
so, I'm not at that level right now.
Just to add my two cents to this discussion, actually, we have to start slicing somewhere. I mean, when we are talking microservice slicing or modularity, we are slicing the pieces into something as a group. We all agree on that. Later, we are talking about containerization. It can come from deployment perspective. It can come from the perspective of usage, from operators, from service providers, whatever. This is a good approach to start with, where we are thinking of reusability. One way to say, as Vimal was trying to add to what Shakir was saying, what I think is a good start from one perspective, which is actually coming from the reusability of the components without reinventing the entire wheel, as we have Tosca Parser classic example. And in fact, we also have a catalog. In fact, catalog information, runtime catalog is also one more thing which is being used across different components. So such things can be taken into consideration. I agree with it. The approach that is that we take this as a problem statement, find the solutions to it. And I agree, I totally am with Roger also here, because there will be change of, there'll be delta change or could be maximum change or minor change. That changes can be come something which we cannot predict right now, but surely we have to keep that in account. So what I would say is we can take one particular piece of the of functionality, not the code and all, take a piece of the functionality, which is what we require to be put as a service, which can be commonly shared across. And then think of how can we slice it, or how can we put it as a reusable component, which is actually coming to my the containerization of it as well as microservice of that. Then we can actually go. That's the first step I would think of achieving what we are actually. What Shakir has said is something as a long way ahead. Maybe the baby steps of it to be have a collaborative way, have an eagle's eye of complete ONAP structure, and then take the functional pieces which are common across, and then put them across. So that way we can achieve it. The other way which we are discussing about is take one component, slice it into the as we are talking of SO, one particular thing which we think of it. Right now, we don't have any practical solution of it, but we are thinking of slicing whatever is the module, the functional architecture of the SO into different microservices which can be reusable. So both the approaches can be taken, but again, we have whips and buts which we have to apply to see what is the best outcome of this.
So we must just a comment. We must be careful not to confuse container-based architecture with microservices architecture. And today we kind of make no distinction of that. So Shakir, I appreciate the fact that you brought this to our awareness. There has been some discussion in the past about doing some functional decomposition. And I feel that if you do functional decomposition, you achieve modularity, right? Modularity is the outcome of the process of decomposing piece into pieces, what you normally see as a monolithic approach. So, Shakir, the question I have for you is, what do you think didn't work in the past with those functional decomposition discussions that we learned and that we can move forward? What can we do differently, in your opinion?
I can't answer just because I wasn't a part of the functional decomposition effort, but I think I would have to believe that the functional decomposition is probably prerequisite to the migration from monolithic to microservices. It's going to drive the input. The output from that discussion is going to drive the input into what needs to become a microservice versus not becoming a microservice, right?
So in that context, my suggestion to the team is that if we say to the community, go out, take your project and do functional decomposition, that can mean many things to different people, right? So my suggestion or the question for us here is, can we set some guidelines as to how to perform that functional decomposition? Can we help people get it done? Can we provide some shared experience in a way? I've seen this coming a number of times. People have talked about it, but because Shakir, you really gave us a good example, For some people, modularity means partition into pieces. For some people, it means the functionality that you can achieve with it, with rip and replace. So my suggestion, and I would like to hear what you guys think, is to have some concrete artifacts or steps that people can actually use to achieve the functional decomposition I feel we need.
I think that's what we're trying to get to. So I think this is to guide the focus. And I can agree, Adolfo, with your observation that this aligns with the interpretation of the functional decomposition. It sort of heads into this sort of approach. But we kind of felt that at some stage the discussions was a little bit all over the place. So I think it sounds like I'm hearing that this is a good sort of basis to focus and grow. We're not excluding anything going in this direction. Looking for what might be the microservices or the composition of those the functionality. And I hear also that the one aspect of this that was appreciated was the reusability that Sesha brought up, that we might be able to, if we could focus on the components or the ones, we shouldn't exclude the others, but if we can have an extra bit of attention on the one on the functions or the microservices or the subcomponents that could be reusable. Of course, we're not going to force in one release that they are reused, but at least sort of identifying that and steering in that direction, it sounds like it might be a good way forward. Is that, did I hear it right?
Yeah, sounds good.
So one thing, Steve, I would like to add is that it's like the point Adolfo raised, right? It's critical that we sort of give guidance on what are the functions we're looking for, because at some point when we are discussing functional decomposition, what came out was, hey, while we are defining those functions, we'd be able to construct some meaningful packages. For example, define how a single cloud deployment would be, right, for one app. So I think that's the most critical aspect of progressing this forward, in my opinion. Be able to define those functions. Out of those decomposed functions, what will be the sort of packages you can create, right, to advance one app forward?
For that, I think we require brainstorming, having a eagle's eye of entire one app, right? Because there are functionalities which are spread across different components, which are, some things are duplicated, some things are derivable, some things are extendable. So for that to happen, I think we require to have a brainstorming, having entire ONAP architecture with all the modules taken into consideration. Then maybe something can come out.
Yeah, that's perhaps, or at least the more critical ones. I mean, the critical ones are, as you very well know, like SO, STMC, some of those, right? I mean, you know, the most critical ones. We do not.
Yeah, critical ones.
Even if we.
But that's the point which I'm trying to say, Ramki. If you take critical ones alone, maybe you are diluting some part of it, right? Because when you're talking of...
No, sure. But I'm just trying to see whether it can simplify. But I do agree the ideal case would be we have to look at it in entirety. But, right. You know, yeah.
Hey guys, this is Parvez. Shakir, your idea of migration from monolithic to microservices-based architecture, well... at the extreme that we have a fully microservices-based architecture, that doesn't mean that we have an optimal implementation of all the platform functionality. That doesn't mean that. So when we migrate, we have to be very careful. If you are going to change the boundary of the existing projects, then that is unnecessary complexity that we are bringing in. Unless we can justify the value of doing that, correct?
I think we're talking about theoretical possibilities and theoretical conclusions now. I think I think based upon this, the next step I think is a little bit in the target team, Parvez, if we can leverage this and steer to what is it we need to to actually promote this discussion now or focus.
Sure.
And then we'll follow up on this next week, because I think we're trying to prepare for the face-to-face and in order to prepare for Dublin. So what is it that we want to in this direction in Dublin?
I have a suggestion, Steve, for to be better prepared for the Montreal meeting. What Shakir did to the SO, the decomposition, it would be nice if other project leaders, they can have a similar view, bringing those subcomponents, at least for a handful of them, to Montreal to see if we can move faster. We take a good use of the time. Okay.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good suggestion. And we just need to think about how to go and at least from a functional point of view, get that. Who was the Was Steve, that your session?
Sorry. Steve, just on the same topic, one particular question I have. Are we having Zoom Bridge details for the meeting? Because because of the things which happened, I'm not sure whether we'll be able to get the visa on time. So.
Yes, there is a phone call. I haven't organized a Zoom Bridge, but I will organize a Zoom Bridge. There is some teleconference. We will try, of course, to make it as easy as possible to follow externally, but you know it's hard.
Okay. And another request would be to have these critical discussions in the times when it's not very odd for the other side of the world, especially Asia, right? Because, I mean, then we have to spend overnights and it'll be 24/7 job for us here. I think Vishwa also agrees with it. Because I think he'll be in the same situation as me. Vishwa, you can add.
Okay. I'm going to shift.
Yes, reflected my thoughts.
I'll see what I can do. It's always tricky, right? I don't think there'll be always someone that finds a particular discussion. But let's move on to that topic now. Thank you, Chaco. I'll ask you to also share the slides as well.
I certainly will. Yes, I will do that. Thank you. Good.
Thanks.
If you have any questions or comments, please send them to me. Just send me an email. Thank you.
You need to stop sharing.
I will. And
Steve,
right now.
When are we having publishing of agenda items for the face to face? Is it? I know you are preparing for that. So when is a possible time frame when we can have a check on that?
Right. Let's go onto that discussion now. Can you see my? Can you see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir, we can.
Okay. So agenda management. I'm not good at that, obviously. Bit too ambitious, but I think what is important, so Srini, sorry, we might have to put you off for next week here. But what is important, I think, is to start not the agenda, but the topics for the face-to-face so we can actually start that. Now, this was the Dublin release sort of starting point that Chris was putting on the table, and out of this there were some 19 topics. There's a few more topics that have come up from the Tiger team and so on there. And of course, that doesn't make sense that we take that. So I want to start with the purpose of the face-to-face. And this is what I'm putting up here. And I just put down a few things open to feedback. So to progress the ONAP architecture work with the focus on providing inputs to the projects for the Dublin release. And we need to provide prioritization as well, I think. Meaning that at the end of the meeting, we want to have agreement. Okay, we know it's probably going to go a little bit longer than that, but as close as we can to some maturing consensus around the architectural direction for the Dublin release and the architectural topics that we think we need to progress for that release, because there's not much time. That means that I think anything we think is a more directional architecture discussion we put off, we don't take that there. From an agenda planning point of view, one reason for having a face-to-face and one reason for having it for more than one day is to allow discussion. So the idea, I think, was to allow an initial presentation and discussion, get the feedback, allow for offline discussion, allow for representing that after the offline alignment. So hopefully we get better to alignment. And maybe that has to happen more than once. So that's my mindset or thinking. I'm going to stop here and listen to your comments now.
I'm perfectly aligned with this agenda shift.
Okay, thank you.
Just ask here, are the PTL going to be physically there or attending the meeting? And why I'm asking is because if we have an agreement on the architecture, what does it mean? Commitment that they will execute within Dublin release? And I'm not so sure about that.
No, okay, agreement, I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, alignment is a process, and we this is not replacing the milestone approach that we have, Gilda. So I think it's more to try to say, we have feedback that we need to be clearer about what we want to achieve, right?
And
so from an architectural point of view, we want to be able to say, hey, this is what we think is important.
Okay, because that may, for some items, may maybe take one or two releases to happen.
In some cases, that may be the case, yes. Yeah. And then okay. We'll go through the, but I mean, this is biased towards what we think can be done in the Dublin release. So we already heard today there's some really interesting ideas that it's been talked about, and we know that's a bit more directional, so we don't need to focus on those in this meeting, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you.
Steve, one consideration, I mean, the end user advisory group sort of engagement discussions are also happening, right? In case we have these discussions, but then they come back with different priorities, how do we adapt to that?
Carefully. We have to be a little bit flexible according to that, but then we will be in a position where we would have to say, if we have some prioritization, we would have to say then, okay, this is the architecture input, there's other use case inputs and so on that we need to also think about here. And we still have that question and process of alignment around that, because this is not the entire developers event, this is just the architecture perspective, right? So if we can come from an architectural point of view to say, here is the priority that we think is the important thing from a community, and that will have to be mixed in with other priorities. So maybe not everything on that priority list gets done and may have to be pushed off to release. But let's just tackle one thing at a time. Let's come with the architecture. And
also, makes sense, Stephen. Maybe we could use this for, my thought is maybe we could use this sort of the fact that we're having this meeting to push EUAG another approach too. We could consider.
So hold your thoughts on that. What I've done here is put up the topics that I've heard around the place, and this is not to say we should do them all. I'm just giving you what's coming up. And then I've started trying to say, here's the ones that I start to think we probably should focus on here. So, but I wanted to just quickly go over these to see whether, and this is contribution driven. It's not that I'm going to sit here making presentations for all of this. That ain't happening. So we need to have someone that sort of says, I feel that this is something I want to sort of drive. And then once I have that, we can start putting this into an agenda. Another data point as well is that our colleagues from the modeling subcommittee will also be there. And initially we said, okay, we'll have 2 days for the architecture and then a half day separated for the modeling. But, you know, I think we're just going to be mixing these together over the 2.5 days. That's going to be the little bit of of what we discussed a little bit before, unless there's violent objections to that. Okay, this was the topic. So they all actually have a JIRA number. One was single instance, large scale deployments, whatever that means, it has to be worked out. I wasn't thinking that this was something that was necessarily something to focus on, but does someone disagree with me? Okay. Then there's a couple, I'm going to go through this quickly. Of course, you can always come back and disagree with me later. There's a couple around sort of orchestration hierarchy, and this also came into the Tiger team readout before. So I don't know whether there is a need or a interest in progressing an aspect around the sort of the federation or delegation or hierarchy of orchestration, or is that considered directional? My feeling from before, it was considered directional, but what's your view?
The one which was directional was recursive, right? Not the DO part. That's what I hear from what Parviz has presented, isn't it? For Dublin, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are two separate topics. Yeah, Tesher, you're right. So, Steve, the nested services, the recursive service internal structure, that is a high priority, but its operator's input should determine if that should be scheduled for Dublin. That is work in progress. We don't have the input from operators like Vodafone, AT&T, and others, yeah? We need to exercise more input, especially from operators or end user advisory group. Is that operators and end user advisory groups, they go hand to hand, correct? That's my take. So we need to take their input and reprioritize some of these items and
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, okay. are you trying to get input for both the architecture as well as the modeling?
I was mainly focusing on the architecture, but I think we need to start putting the modeling aspects in. So,
okay. I took some notes and I'll just read them off and you decide what you want to do with them. We have the allotted resources that we said that we want to discuss.
I've got that.
We mentioned something about discussing the NSD, Network Service Description.
Yeah.
Got that.
I think there was a mention of a VNF, M. Yeah. We have a domain orchestration and we have the container-based microservices.
Okay, the VNFM part is not into this. Let me just add that. So this is my output in a way, so as a starting point, and this was just the topics that I just wanted to see. Use these to tease out whether there was interest. And then you have, Ray, I think I've got some of those, what you said. So I'm going to jump around between these, a little bit unstructured maybe. But I think what you had said was the VNFM and domain orchestration is not on this list. So let's just do this.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Another thing. Can you hear me?
Yes, Lynn.
Yes. Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Yes. I have been doing the survey on service provider side, focused on the topic around the alignment with HCNFP architecture. And also, I think it is related to both architecture and modeling.
Okay. Let me do the following. I've lost my layout instead of.
Hey, Lingley, who is our spokesperson for the EI advisory group, for end user advisory group? Do we have a spokesperson?
I don't think so. No, I'm also not on that part. I am on the LFN and. I'm sorry, and user advisory group, but I'm not being part of the ONAP on EUAG. I'm not sure which part are you asking for.
Yeah, as I mentioned during the Tiger Team readout.
Can we put that aside? I'm running short on time. Sorry. Lingley, does this capture survey input on Etsy ONAP alignments? Does that capture your input there?
Yes, it is mainly from the service provider's side.
Okay. I was actually, and I also saw there was from, let me quickly go through this and come back down. External APIs, Andy, I assume that's more or less an issue that you handle in the project more than something at the architectural level at the moment. Same with API improvements. Edge orchestration, I guess we probably need something about edge orchestration, right?
Correct, Steve. I think the primary topic focus is the 5G network slicing, the immediate one.
5G network slicing as separated from edge orchestration?
Basically edge, the driver would be 5G network slicing. Basically edge is a broad term, right? It's used for driving network services for other applications, but the immediate focus area, like because it's a doubling focus.
Slicing by itself doesn't have edge orchestration requirement. It is a 5G deployment that might have edge orchestration requirement and supporting other 5G network elements less services. If edge orchestration is a topic, I think it should be more focused on how do we deploy 5G network elements at the edge locations.
But the cloud, the slicing would involve sort of resource slicing of the cloud, so that's what I was thinking, from a slicing angle.
I don't know how much slicing we will be able to do in Dublin timeframe, and I don't think it's there. At the cloud level.
Okay, so yeah, fair point. Then let's do what 5G and network deployment.
Yeah.
Is that something that Vimal and Ramki can?
Yeah, we can talk about the different workload and what are the requirements at the edge locations and how it need to be supported. Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping also, because I saw that in the Verizon views on ONAP architecture evolution was on the page that was volunteered by Viswar and Fernando. And I was actually thinking it would be a great idea to start with, if a few operators could come together and actually say, listen, here's what we were thinking, as opposed to having just a Verizon one or just a Vodafone one or just a whatever one. If someone was volunteering to take the lead to sort of say, hey, from an architectural point of view, a few of us got together and here's some aspects that we think is really important. And even if you could share that before the meeting, it'll be great.
Should that be coming, won't that be the output of end user advisory group or?
The end user advisory groups is more respect to the operational requirements, whereas at least for this topic, we had some views on how we think ONAP should evolve architecturally. So Steve, to answer your question, we did try to see if any of the service provider peers are coming, but then based on what we got, looks like most people whom we reached out, they are eyeing to take part in the Dublin event, the developer forum. So that's the reason we thought, okay, let's just go ahead and tell what we have. I mean, the thing is that we are open to have that kind of discussion, provided if we have participation.
Sure. Now, okay, that was Viswa, was it? Or?
Yeah, okay. Viswa here.
Thank you. Okay, so this may be a bit more of a Verizon one, or I encourage other operators to sort of contact Viswa and say, hey, I want to put this aspect in there. But I think it's probably a good starting point to set the scene to say, hey, this is some of the thoughts here. And a focus on Dublin. I mean, it's fantastic to ask for a nice Ferrari for Christmas, but let's focus on what you might be able to get. Okay.
So could you repeat what you were asking from operators to do?
What would be your wish of the ONAP platform from an architectural perspective for the Dublin release?
Nice. Okay. Thank you.
But again, just a caveat here. So I am also from India, just like Seshu. So I will try to attend in person. But then if I didn't get visa, then probably I would be attending remote.
Okay.
Hey, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to suggest, are you going to put this back on the wiki? Because, you know, folks that don't make the call or something.
Absolutely.
Have an opportunity to contribute their input into the agenda.
Absolutely. What I didn't want to do was cut down all of this previous input myself. I just wanted to go through this. And then the output of this will be put onto the wiki there, Jason. Yes.
Hey, Steve, Jason has a good point on the focus on the common services as related SVP on architecture. Do you have it, common services?
Yeah, I put a comment in the chat about, basically.
Steve, do you have that item?
No, not yet. I'll add it now.
Okay.
And then there was one around just a question. If I go over these previous topics, then controllers, I was going here, external APIs, multi-tenancy, service mesh, is that something these need to be brought up? Platform.
The service mesh is not mandatory, correct?
I think so. Yeah.
No, I mean, for Dublin, what do we have an agreement that service mesh is mandated or just optional?
No.
I'm just asking.
For Casa Santa, it is optional. For Dublin, that's something which we need to discuss and then make it mandatory or optional. Right? I think we need to still to be discussed.
But didn't we say in the face-to-face meeting in Beijing that we wouldn't be making it mandatory for Beijing, whatever release we're in Dublin?
No, it's not practical to make it.
For Casablanca, we said it is not mandatory.
But But I thought we said for Dublin as well. We wouldn't have in the Beijing. I guess we would have still been talking about Casablanca, but no, it would have been way too late to
from practicality. Practicality is not possible to have service mesh implemented in Dublin. That's what I can see.
Okay, so I hear there is interest in this topic. I don't want to discuss the exact topic now.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think there is some interest in the topic, but I won't prioritize it as the highest priority at this stage, I think.
But we should definitely discuss.
And then I think the platform data management layer, I think is interesting, but I think it would fall out of the composition discussion and the modularity discussion. So I think that's covered from that point of view.
Multi-tenancy, are we talking about multi-tenancy here? Just in the previous slide?
Yes. I think it's normal. But it's just a one-liner at the moment. We need to develop what we want to say about that.
Right. I mean, my ask was for Dublin, do we have, because again, driving from operator's perspective, if we have asked from the operators, maybe we have to think about it, or else we can actually postpone it for next to this. That's my two cents on that.
Okay.
Because that's a very deep topic. Once we take multi-tenancy into consideration, we have a lot of aspects to be taken into consideration, right? So that will be a very huge topic to...
I agree. I think you have a very valid point, and it sounds a little bit to me like it's something that requires more conceptual work before we dive down and say this is what we want for Dublin. So that means I'm going to be a little bit and say no.
Yeah, I don't want to overcommit and do less. That's my problem here.
So multi-tenancy is actually important, but you know, I don't want to say it has to be in the Dublin, but it is an important capability.
And that brings me to one point that I do want to take a few minutes when we're there is a little bit about our overall, since a number of people face to face, how do we balance the current needs, i.e. what's the next release needs, versus the architectural direction sort of thing in our way of working. But anyway, that's another thing there. The controller personas and that sort of topic that came up in the Tiger team there, that was also came up in that architecture brainstorming. Is this something that we want to discuss for Dublin? Vimal, is this, I mean, this is the CCSDK and so on there. So are we saying that we don't need to do any more work to progress that at the moment, or we keep it as it is?
We can talk about that as whether it's part of what Sakar was starting as one of the modules. We could also talk about definitely present how what Sakar is doing for SO could be equally applicable for controller and give some idea and might get some commitment on what we can do in Dublin, not the whole thing. So yes, okay, definitely we can present one.
Then you're talking about that under the modularity discussion.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that minimally what we like to see is a persona that will support the configuration and lifecycle management of any DNF. So can we actually do that in CCSDK? I think that's a key thing we want to push.
Using a common approach and modular approach. So.
But the question, so for me, John, should we separate this as a separate topic or bundle it under the modularity? Which it might get forgotten and dropped if we do that, actually.
Yeah, I think we could probably lump it into the modularity.
Okay. So maybe then this here is the list that starts to form. This is not the final list, I guess, but it's at least a good solid list that we can start building an agenda around. Andy. Yes.
So one thought, Steve. So in the 5G work, can we split it into two parts? One is sort of the edge cloud focus area, where that's what sort of anything edge related comes in, like edge cloud, aggregation microservices, and other topics, right? We are developing upon a few. Probably it's worth breaking it down.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. I think 5G and the edge, I think we should separate them out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 5G, of course, we want to make sure that we are aligned with the top level use cases, but worth separating out into two items.
Hey, Ramke, do we want to also discuss Mac MEC or not?
Yeah, exactly. So Edge, yeah. Yes. So basically, that's the reason for separating out Edge.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but priority start with 5G, then aggregation, then a little more forward thinking, but bring everything together. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
Ramki, and you can say the Edge Automation Working Group. I mean, so many other people involved. I just don't want to.
So how about containerization, containerization and multi-cloud and all, the containerization orchestrations and all that you're talking about, right? Ramki, you want to put that as a part of Edge here? Or?
That, the cloud native network functions would be separate, I guess. There'll be a separate topic, I think, which Srini has been driving, right? You want to keep that?
Do you want to keep it in the Dublin planning meeting, because it is already kind of approved and going progressing well. So if time permits, we can do that, but it is kind of already being discussed in our subcommittee meetings very well. So
maybe Srini, you could give an update, sort of, you know, but many people are there. Maybe it could be an update, not really a discussion, quick update, maybe.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Hey, Steve, for modeling input to architecture, Steve, could we get an early, like a list of the issues that we need to discuss face-to-face before the meeting? Can we do that?
Andy, Dang, are you on the line? Andy, you are, right.
Yep. And then Steve, before that, I think that as we are discussing, can we put one line item on cloud-native VNF support?
Okay. This is not
for Dublin.
Put it here, and this is not the order. This is just the topics. Okay. And this is Srini, was it?
Yeah.
Cloud native.
So for modeling input, that is very important, Steve, as you know. Modeling input, we need to really see the dependency between the two committees.
It's probably more than input. It's probably modeling interactions with architecture.
What I meant was modeling committee input to architecture committee. That's what I meant actually. But
but it's probably more like how do we tie these efforts together, right? And it's more than just, you know, feeding modeling into architecture, because, you know, of course, architecture influences modeling. We're just talking about microservices, right? So that's
two questions, Andy. What do you want to call it, and can you have something to share earlier so that others can there was a request to have an earlier version of that.
Yeah, I can work on that. So it's modeling, I just would change it to modeling interactions with architecture.
Andy, can we give it more color, like Tosca IM versus Tosca DM, or that's too detailed?
No, that's too detailed. It's much more than that. And there's no Tosca IM. Tosca is not an information model. It's a data model.
I know, but Tosca IM came up in the discussion.
Okay,
I
but it's know. Not. Please stop.
We're not going to go there.
I'm not going there now. There was a nested services came up and that description there. That's still valid, right? Should I put that and Gil, are you volunteering or can I volunteer you?
I think a lot of resources is a higher priority, but.
Okay. And I think I have that here somewhere. Was it? Maybe we should.
With my name on it.
Yeah. Should we combine them?
I was talking on mute, Steve. I would say that we will combine nested services instead of recursive services. That's what is the thing. So the point for us discussion was AR using nested services or recursive services. What we have to think about.
Okay. So that combined. Good. That solves that. Okay.
That's one topic.
We said we should have something around ONAP orchestration hierarchy and federation. I got that from the discussion there.
I don't think that was for Dublin, right? I mean, we were thinking of it for, I mean, as my understanding from Tiger team, Parviz, you can correct me, Gil, you too. That was for future discussion, not for Dublin.
Modularity deep dive. We know we're going to have a session on that, so I'll leave it there. NSD modeling and scope, that's who should be the driver of that? I know you brought this up, Gil, but is someone else volunteering to share the load here?
Isn't it too much tied up with the modeling subcommittee also, that NSD modeling and scope, is it?
Yeah, but they'll be there.
I almost think this can be tied to the work in the happening in the task force. What do you guys think? We need to bring all these efforts together, right?
Yes, but I think it's a separate question.
That was my question as well.
Well, how to model? I think how to model a network service really is a modeling team discussion. Those discussions are going on in there, and I don't know. I mean, Andy or somebody maybe. I can present the presentation I've already made, but I've made it several times.
Yeah, I think that's probably what this topic is the role of NS and how it gets transformed into service. But it is kind of an architectural thing too, because it's more than just how do we model NSs, but what does NS mean within the context of ONAP?
True. Yeah, there's runtime aspects as well. I can present on this topic. I can kick us off.
Okay. The one aspect of this, Gil, you remember, Gil, in the Tiger Team discussion, there was an issue, a misalignment between the Mano NSD modeling versus the ECOM or ONAP, network service modeling.
Steve, you can...
There is a misalignment.
Right. Yeah? That's an aspect of this, right? That's one aspect of this.
Sesha, I can put you where?
Along with Gil, actually. I'll try to, if I'm there, I'll also support Gil on that because it's more to do with SO and all that. So I'll also support Gil on that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good. I think this is, I'll.
So now I may not be present. Now one must not be present I may not be present in Montreal. So I'm not sure if that eliminates me from this list or not.
Because I am also a little doubtful on that. So both of us are on the same entity.
And I will not be present either. I'll be in MEF.
Okay. Okay. I think this is a good... there was one more that I also wanted a discussion around, and this is what you had brought up, Shekha, maybe. A little bit of a starting work of the combined architecture and modeling and terminology, and this is what we call resource information model, or whatever that naming now. I don't expect we should complete it, but we need a little bit of start. But I can take the lead in that. It's not to solve it, it's just to start.
You could put me down as well.
Okay. All right. I'll put this up on the. Thank you for that.
Just one thought, Steve. So when we brought up service mesh before. What we realized was it's critical to solving many of the S3P challenges. Maybe one way to position this is S3P, we could have sort of a combination of those discussions also, if you think that's one way to advance, better way to advance it forward. Like combine those two sessions together.
I'll put them after each other. Thank you for that suggestion. Okay.
You have too many C's in my name. You have too many C's in my name.
And how about modeling deep dives?
Yeah. Okay, I'll put this up and I'll stop this here.
Just one thing, for the modeler deep dive, so who is going to be a part of that modeler deep dive?
Who's going to take the lead on that? Okay, that's a good question.
On model. Okay.
The modularity.
Modularity. I could.
You can count me, tackle me too. If I'm.
Myself. I mean, you could put me down in addition to whomever wants to volunteer.
I think there'll be lots of people needed into that. But if you take the lead there, Chaka there. And
yeah, sure.
You got the work from the Tiger team as well there. Okay, cool. I wanted to give a little bit of time to Jason as well. That's less than I promised him. But
okay.
So I'll hand over to you, Jason. Hey. I'll hand over to you, Jason, and give you 10 minutes there.
Sure. I'll do my best here. All right. So this is around, I'm trying to share here. The S3P stuff that was shared at the TSC meeting and the grid that Childress has been working on. And questions were, you know, are we concerned by what is in this wiki page? So I want to take you guys through my thought process here, and then I welcome input. And if we run out of time here, you know, just send me some input via email would be great. As we look across the areas, I think the first question is, you know, the state of this category at this point in the release cycle, how important is it? So some of these things require code. So, you know, if it's not done now, it's not going to be done. But some of them, like stability and stuff, require testing, which can come later. So, you know, there's still an opportunity, I guess, to improve on some of these, you know, result columns. So as I walk through this really quickly, we're going to focus on the ones that, you know, we think should have been sort of completed by now, and then see what the risk is if it's not where, you know, we were hoping they would be at this point. So starting with performance now, just as a reminder, performance, the performance level one was that you did some sort of baseline performance measurement. Level two was that you had an improvement plan created, not necessarily implemented. And that only applied, level two was the recommended category for the closed loop projects. So if I just look down the list, there's only one, like logging enhancements, that's level two, and they're not even required to have it. So I think this one, you know, has some risk. We've got at least, you know, a fair number at level one, which means, you know, they have some sort of performance measurements. But I do think we need to look at this a little more closely and say, okay, what's the implication if we're not? Maybe we've got some measurements on performance, but we don't have any improvement plans. And it might be looking at, you know, how bad is the performance? Do we have a way to judge based on the results we have on how bad that is? But so I do think there's some sort of risk in the performance category. Let me just fire through these and then I'll ask for feedback. Stability. Is the soak test, so that's something that comes later, so I'm actually going to skip it at this point. Resiliency is the, let me just refresh the memory here. Resiliency is a high level one, so this is the other category, is how important are these. Performance is medium, stability is medium, resiliency is high, and we want, you know, automated detection and recovery in a single site for all the runtime projects. In this case, I think we're actually in pretty good shape. If I just glance down the list here on the M4 result column for resiliency, we see most of them are at two, at least where they filled it in. So I think that's good. You know, I'm not looking at the colors as much. I'm just looking at the end result for the result. So resiliency, probably in decent shape. Security, I'm going to defer. I'm going to assume Steve and maybe you can handle that in the security subcommittee and maybe have a readout for Thursday. Scalability, sure. Just to refresh again, so scalability, low priority, so I'm not really all that concerned about it, but it says, you know, level one for runtime projects, which is single site horizontal scaling. And again, if we look down here, I think, you know, with all the work that we've done with OOM and all that, I think we're, again, in pretty good shape for that one. Manageability, the one thing I noticed looking through the notes here is one of the requirements on manageability was ONAP application logging spec v1.2. Apparently that didn't get done because of some resource constraints on the logging side, so nobody can really cover that piece of it. What I need to do some research on, if there's anybody in the call that can help, is either the component independent upgrade or externalized configuration, if anybody knows any work that's been done to enable the teams to do that so that we could get a judge for how we're doing on manageability here, because that is a high priority item. And then usability is mostly API documentation, so I think that's kind of a post M4 timeline.
Sir, Jason?
Yes.
I just want to comment on the common configuration.
Yeah.
So in the standardized Helm charts that were put in Beijing and now are using Casablanca, we do have a standardized convention for configuring, centrally configuring all the ONAP components, mm-hmm. at least from the Helm chart perspective, then that gets injected into the containers and based on the project.
I knew you were working on that. Do we know if anybody's using it? I guess that's the question.
It's being used in prod in Bell Canada, yeah.
No, but I mean, are the project teams,
that what you mean?
Are the project teams leveraging, are they creating, you know, configuration parameters in those Helm charts that, you know,
they are being leveraged. They get injected into the configuration files. Whether there's more configuration that could be exposed to that mechanism, yeah, that would have to be on a per project team basis, but kind of shown the way and can help to further improve what items are externally configurable.
So, Gildas, what we might do, since we know the logging 1.2 didn't make it, and so that's probably why a lot of people are putting ones in here, is, you know, maybe ask them, okay, if except for logging, how are you doing on the other level 2 requirements for manageability, and see if anybody would update their cell. That might be how we address manageability column. All right, any other comments? So I think, you know, I think my readout to the TSC on Thursday would be, you know, need a little more clarity on manageability. Scalability and resiliency seem okay, and performance is a risk area as far as where we are today. You know, stability or usability or something might be an issue down the road. And then, like I said, Stephen, I'll turn it over to you on the security side. Comments, questions?
Just a note of caution on resiliency. I think this was counting on the K8s to do the job, but I don't know whether, I mean, each project has actually implemented true state separation. I don't know whether all the detail analysis has been done, something to think about.
Are you talking about for stateful components?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would hope, you know, if they reported level 2 here, that they've dealt with that, but...
it's more of a note of caution, just, you know, caveat.
Okay. Yep. Anything else?
Jason, one more point is even for performance, right? We don't have a hardline base code as to these are the criteria which we have to measure. What happened there was more like a common identified benchmarks across which we have to measure the performance criteria.
That's right. Yeah, back in Beijing, we made some suggestions. So one, it was up to the project teams to identify what criteria are important to them, but we gave some guidance and says, okay, well, depending on what your component does, this might be the type of thing you might want to measure. But yeah, you're right. We were not very prescriptive in that. So it was up to the project teams to, you know, come up with what criteria they want to measure and take a baseline on.
Right, because the other thing for performance is also the kind of environment you're using. Right now, what we have taken is, for SO especially, we have taken OpenLab, which is what is the configuration of OpenLab is being considered, because SO, for known reasons, that it depends on various other components, right? Because you launch a workflow and then you wait for the other external components for actually doing the things and all. So it depends on various factors, like the server on which the VM or the server on which your component is running. Also, it depends on the other components like SDNC, the time it takes in SDNC, the time it takes in ANI. Also, those things also will measure for the entire end-to-end part of the instantiation flow if you're talking about. So,
yeah. And I think we understand that the baseline is on a particular configuration for now. And perhaps the tough thing to judge is, okay, well, is whatever you measure, is that good enough?
Yes, both the things. I'm saying one is
the precondition. That's probably the toughest part.
And also the measurement criteria which we took, is it good enough? So this was not very clear to us, but we still tried to do something from what we could do from the integration lab, actually.
Very good. Appreciate the input. All right, if anybody else has comments, please drop me an email. so that we can incorporate it into the feedback for the TSC meeting on Thursday.
Okay.
And with that, I think we're a minute over.
We're at the top of the hour, whichever time zone you're in. So I think we can end the meeting now. Thank you for your attendance and active participation today and to the presenters. So I apologize to the two presenters that I asked to present something and didn't give them time, but we'll take that for next week.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, all right. Thank you, Steve. All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.